Session number 16724, Ernest Taylor, Reel 4.
Mr. Taylor, Reel 4. You were talking about Cyprus and the Cypriots. Were they pretty friendly people?
Yes, they were. I think they were all right to me. Yes, they were. And they didn't mix a lot. And we were out, pretty well out in the wilds, you know. And I remember there was a... We used to have a siesta. We were on tents, in tents then. And we used to have a siesta on afternoon. And this old fella used to come every afternoon with the great big donkey with big mule with the baskets on the side, fruit, all sorts of fruit, and he used to take it straight through the tent, and we used to be on our beds. I think it was bunk. Anyway, we were still in our beds. We didn't get out. He used to, in one end, buy what you wanted from him, fruit, and then he used to go out the other end. And that was every afternoon he used to come through. And he'd walk for miles. You could see for miles up in the hills where he'd come from, you know. But just straight to him. And if we got to leave at all, we were down in Nicosia a few times.
What would you be doing there?
Well, it was the same thing. We're just in the same position. I remember we dug these positions. And I think we were supposed to be ready at guarding the airfield. The airfield was out the road. It was supposed to be guarding the airfield, I think. We dug all the trenches, though.
What time would your day start? When was Ravalli?
Well, about 6 o'clock, I think. And then you went through to the dinner time. And I'll tell you what I was going to say. I remember what used to happen as well. Turkey was neutral, wasn't it? Used to be see planes going over. I mean, we weren't actually on the airport. It was a good way to road. Planes going over. You see Spitfires going over with our Martins on and then coming back with Turkish Martins on, as if they were sort of using Turkey with being neutral. But there was some way of supplying planes, because you see the planes go over some with British, as if they had taken them up, but I don't know whether that happened or not.
But you said you went to Nicosia for your relaxation. What were
doing? Well, that was the first place that I actually had a Turkish bath. I'd been the Turkish bath, and it was a real old-fashioned Turkish bath. You went in and it was all stone shelves, and you just lay on them and set the steam, you know, steamed up, and forget what they did when you come out. Then came out of there, like, it used to make you feel a stone light, you know, for when you opened your pores and that. But then we used to go around the shops and go and have a drink. What you could get there was cheapest, I think, was cognac. You know, they say their own stuff. And you could get it from the wood. And we had a night out. We used to drop us off, and then we had to be at a certain point to be picked up. There was one night I had to walk home. I'd had too much, and I don't know to this day how I got back for a day. There was a couple of us walked home. It was a kind of way to say, but that was because they were very friendly, the Cypriots, in this particular place. And they allowed us to finish to just go and fill our own drinks. Well, naturally, it was brandy, you know. Just little glass, but filling them up. Never happened again, though.
What were the young ladies like? Were they available and friendly?
No. Well, they were brothels, I suppose, but I didn't use them. There was someone, but it didn't happen to them, that was all. That the nearest thing, didn't did anything like that, was later on in France. But there, I don't know whether you I think they were more Arabic that way. They would keep the women, you know, they very private.
Could you see any difficulties between the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots?
Well, there was one. We called him Johnny Ataturk. He was a very friendly fella, and he used to come and he worked with the work. Seemed to work together, but the ones that I knew, he drove a horse and cart, and the other one used to, this Turk that I knew, used to do the digging. I don't know whether the Turks just did the digging or the Cypriots, but this one, he was a very friendly sort of fellow. They're just different ones I spoke to, that was all. You see, when you saw them down in the town, in the hometown, they were different people altogether, you know.
So you were digging your defences for the airfield.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to do any training while you were digging, or was this a full-time job?
No, it wasn't a full-time job. We still had to just keep disciplined, you know, sort of forming up and all that, and a bit march around and things like that, but not a lot, because, as I say, this, it was all stony ground, this, and that would be dug out. The miners, the Burtley men and all that, there's a lot of them, they were handy for it. They knew how to use windy picks and things like that, and they taught, I would use one to finish, and the trenches at the finish, they were about 7 or 8 foot deep, you know, but they were all solid each side because you'd gone through layers of slate and all sorts of tile, stone, and that was it. But it depends. We did a lot of them because, you see, I kind of think how far we were away from the airport, but I think these were built for the airfield, but I think these were to defend it, you know. And there was certainly a lot of air activity, not bombing or anything like that, but there was a lot of air activity, so we mustn't have been very far away from it.
What was the climate like?
Oh, great. Lovely. I think I saw rain twice, but mine was heavy, you know, heavy, but didn't last long, you know, stormed, and then it wasn't even cold, you know, but it was just heavy. But
your health and the health of the battalion?
I don't think it was so much there. I think it was more of it in Egypt and Cyprus, with sandfly and, you know, dysentery and things like that, but I don't think it was so bad in Cyprus, it doesn't been too important, it doesn't stuck in my mind.
Did you move anywhere else other than just the airfield area whilst you were there?
No, I don't think so. But there was a holiday camp, a rest camp there, and it was up in the hills, and I've tried to think of the name, but up in, and the anyone that'd been sick, I think it was for sickness, you know. They used to go up there, and I was never up, but when they came back, there was one in particular, he says, it was just like being at home, because there was trees and everything, you know, and green, but it'd been right up in the hills. I can't think of the name, but it was known, it'll still be on they'd be named like in Cyprus, and they said it was just by being back home in England with the green and that, you know. Because there's all sand down below where we were.
Have you any other memories of Cyprus?
Pardon?
Have you any other memories of Cyprus?
Well, not... Used to go through the marketplace and things like that, but there was nothing there. No, not that I can go.
Where did you move to next?
Well, I think we went back... Went back there, back to Egypt. Because we went to Iraq, but I don't know where we landed and how long we were there, but we went to Iraq by way of the Transjordan Valley. Transjordan.
Do you remember the date?
Pardon?
Do you remember the date that you moved from Cyprus?
No, I can't remember any dates at all.
What of the journey to Iraq? You went right through the Transjordan.
Yeah, it was lovely going through the Transjordan Valley. I enjoyed that, you know. It was nice to look down the Rail Valley, you know, green, everything green and that. Then, of course, you start to come to Iraq, which was just rocks, rocky hillsides, and oh, the devil! But they had marvelous horses and that, and sheep and horses used to live off this land. It must have just been moss. But they drove the horses. These Bedouins used to drive the horses along in flocks, you know, a lot. And the good ones were covered up, and the other ones were just staggering on. But those that were covered up, they were marvelous, and you couldn't see where there was anything to feed them from. It's the same as you didn't with camels in the desert. I mean, they fed, but you didn't see anything growing, you know. But these Bedouins used to see in the distance, I thought it was a convoy coming, this great big fellow with all his gear on, even the sword down here, his head this on, and it looked like haystacks following them. And it was these women behind him carrying all wood twigs, and sometimes a kiddie on top of them, on top, riding on the top, whatnot. And he just used to walk in front like that, the lad. And
how were you travelling?
Convoy. Convoy. You know, the troops.
It was a long journey, so obviously it was in stages. You were travelling in stages.
Yeah.
What happened when you... Can you take me through a day of travelling?
No.
Set off in the morning and travel a certain distance?
No. It's all very vague now, really.
Stop for meals at all?
Yeah, well, stop for meals. You have a set of rations, things like that.
At the end of the day, you
would
obviously camp.
Yeah. Well, we were on the bibbies. We had one of the worst winters there, I think, that had to mind, because we had a snow picket on, because we were in tents when we were there, not travelling there, when we were there. And it was so heavy, the snow, that those pickets take the snow off during the night, you know. And that's the only place that we had a room ration. And the officers brought it, I think it was the officers brought it around. We had a room ration because it was cold. It wasn't every night, it was one particular night, I think, but that was the only thing at place I can remember getting it, because during the day it was like this, but you could get the heaviest frost, you know, the two opposites. And as I say, there was a snow picket on at times, because if the snow was that heavy, it could have collapsed the tents. Just for it to scrape it off.
How did you cook in that wilderness?
Well, that's the one I was going on about. It was the most interesting thing, for cooking. And what they used to do, they used to dig. Somebody used to dig it, I remember. When we were digging it up or something. But anyway, the cooks had a trench dug right out. And the cans, not the jerry cans, and the cans, what they had the oil in, because we were in the oil country, used to be a can of oil put there with a hole put in and a stick in so you could regulate them. And the same sort of can this end with a drip full of water. And it used to, the water used to run down there. The cans were put, the cookers were put, the Dixies were put across the top, and they used to light it. Man, the smoke was all over, but it used to light and used to drip dirt. The water used to carry the burning oil down into the cesspit at the other end. And that's the cooks, to look at them, they used to be like black men, all, you know, all covered with soot. Just looked at the dune, but you could see it for miles of smoke. And that was the cheapest thing, was crude oil, you see. And that's where they used to cook the meals. Just bars across the top, just stand the cans on. And you could see the cook out for miles. And it was there that we went out with a pig sticking. They put the boar's head on the cookhouse. The cookhouse, tent top or something, post or something like that, at the boar's head. And at night, the officer, somebody was detailed to come round. I'd killed the boar, but they were detailed to come round to tents with little bits of meat cut off. and we all just got a piece each. But to say the, from what we heard, the officers got the best life. We just got a tray sent round, picked one little piece off, and that was part of the ball.
Did it resent you that the officers were getting the best of
them? I think we used to expect it, and that was it. You know, it was just there. We grumbled about it, but what could we do? When all said and done, in that particular case, it was just a piece of brewing meat. But to think we could see that, I thought, well, I got just the same as anybody else, and I was an instigator of it, but that was it. But the officers used to put the, as I say, that was the, we got a rum ration now as well, but wasn't that same particular night, there's something about it, but it was really important we got a rum ration.
You've mentioned the fact that you're living in tents and the winter was quite severe.
Mm-hmm.
How did you keep yourselves warm in your tents?
Well, I think that's all right. But I don't kind of think whether we kept clothes on or not, mind. But I mean, there's so many in the tent. I suppose we'd have the long johns then. Can't think. Yeah, they can't be. And we're, that was another thing. I thought you were going to say how we occupied. We were allowed now and again to go out into the hills. And we were given, I think it was 5 rounds of ammunition and shoot gazelle, because there was plenty of gazelle about. And we are allowed to go up into the hills. And plenty, I mean, you couldn't very well do much danger because it was such a massive place. And the gazelles are there. I can't think of anybody that...
I can't think of anybody that got any,
but... we were at one time allowed so much ammunition, and that was what we were allowed to go up into the hills.
There was a lot of oil.
Just
though.
Odd ones, you know. There wasn't a whole lot of us going.
There was just a lot of oil. It was an oil area. Was that not used to try to heat your tents at all during
no.
the winter?
No. No, not there. No. Never. No cigar. Not the only thing I saw about was the two things. It was used for cooking and... as dangerous at times as the roads were through there. They were built up, you know, built up the roads and embankments there and sand. But the road itself was made with crude oil and dirt, you know, it was like, and was in, when it was any heavy rain, slidey, it could have slid off the road. They were made of crude oil, or used oil, something, the roads, there's that much of it.
Did you get into any of the Mosul or any town like that?
Mosul, we visited them now, places like that, Kirkuk, went to Kirkuk, and Mosul wasn't, I don't know whether we were at Mosul or not, but wasn't far away, but went to Kirkuk. And I don't know, this was one time when we were in transit, and it's the first time I've heard this order given. We're in transit, we were going through Baghdad, and we were told to sit to attention. Not the move. They said you'd get abused or something, but sit to attention. And we were in the troop carriers, of course, like this with your rifles. And I remember as we were going along the road, just before we got into Baghdad, there were flinging stuff at you. They were really pro Nazi, a lot of them. And what I saw one time, there was snow all over. And they must have been very hardy. The little kids were in the boat with their long gowns on. And one of them, there were starlings, always a lot of starlings about, ravaging the boat. You know, they're practically tamed up for food. And I saw a little boy like that pick a starling up and look down at it, pulled its head up and flung it away. And he laughed at us. They were that type, you know, pulled the starling's head up. But however, we're going through Baghdad. They were throwing all sorts at us, and you just had to sit through them. It wasn't long then, but we knew what to expect. They were really anti-British, you know, then. And it must have been when we were in transit going through, but we went through Baghdad. Same with a lot of places I was at when I was prison. It was only through the different countries, you know, travelling. But there was... Mosul wasn't far away. And Kirkuk, we visited a couple of times.
What were they like, those places?
They weren't so bad. It's Kirkuk, of course, went in the marketplace and buying sweet cakes, lovely, they used to make hot, you know, warm, sweet things. And rings like, there was silversmiths on the road, you know, in the beach side with a stall, and he was actually making jewellery out of old Persian coins. And they used to, it was like this, this isn't one, but it was like this, it was marked, and they had black stuff in palms and things like that. And we bought them, I brought some more, but lost them. And the old Persian coins, and you could buy fruit and things like that, but the sweet stuff, the cakes, not a mere tons.
You had Christmas 1941 up in Iraq, can you remember the Christmas dinner?
No, we had a canteen there as well. You could go and buy things with your money, but I can't remember a Christmas dinner. No.
Was there any sport going
on? You could go there for egg sandwiches and things like that in this this canteen.
Did you have any sport in the camp? Any football or that nature?
No, not that I can remember. No, not that I joined in any year. But in any case, what I remember was I was on the slope, you know. We'd go down to the canteen, but it was on the slope and back up to the tents. It was all hills, you know.
What was the food like that you were getting?
The food wasn't so bad. I mean, it was all tinned corned beef and stew and things like that. It was all what they made, you see. It was all just ordinary army stews. And then your square mess tin, you just got it, and it didn't matter what it was, it went down, did with me. And you used to sit outside and have it, you know. You just sat on the bank side. That was where this, it was actually there in Iraq, where this lad made the comment about McGibbon to me when I was sitting having my tea, having one of my maids on the bank side. That's just brought back the memory to me, that. Iraq, we used to go though, and it had wild dogs looking after the horses and that. And if you passed a Bedouin village, the tents were just like great big black mats on posts with the smoke coming through and that. And if you went past the dogs, used to be wild dogs, you know. But lovely, lovely horses and that.
When you set off back to the desert ultimately, were you pleased to leave? Had you had enough of it?
I think so then. It was rough, Iraq. It was very cold and wet, frosty. And to think that during the day at times, you know, it was okay, but you're still cold at night.
Do you remember the return journey?
And they used to give you threatening looks if you passed near too close to the village and that. No, I just remember I think we came the same way. I'm not sure, but I was pleased to get out of Iraq. I didn't like it. And then when it came, this Iraq war, it just proved what I thought about it was right, you know.
You say you don't remember much of the return journey back to the desert.
No, I can't. Where we came to, I don't think I even got anything put on here. Where we went to Canberra, into the canvas, the white boards, you know, back to Egypt, Alexandria, Persian rings, Kirkuk visits, Alexandria area, under canvas.
So you went back and you moved up the desert?
To Ghazala, up past to Brook and all them places.
Moving up the desert towards
Ghazala. Oh, that was interesting news to see, you know, because it was long journeys there and the convoys and cars, wagons breaking down and all that. And we did a lot of travelling, you know. And they were pre-war wagons and you could see them boiling and stumbling over then. The mechanics are trying, the drivers had to be mechanics to try and do them up. And we used to stop each night. Was it lagering up or something? To stop. Bibby's tents, not tents, but bivouacs or something. Stop. And the thing, every morning before we marched up, all had to pick and papers up. Walk across all the area of the desert. You couldn't leave it at all. You'd think you was in the back house part somewhere. You had to pick all the papers up, leave everything as you she found it, which was all through the you know, the Durhams are on their own, but for that, but also you had to label things exactly as they were. And
what are your memories of going into the box, Ghazala?
Going in. Well, when we got in, it was interesting going up, passing Tobruk and places like that, you know.
Were there any signs of warfare as you went up?
Not then. But when we got there, there was odd planes going over. We weren't bombed at all or anything as a convoy. But when we got up there, we all dug. We had bivvies, but we just dug big, measured them, you know, a big chamber for the lion, two at a time. And put your bivvy over the top and peg it down, and therefore he couldn't see anything. You just and put some sand in there, some dust down, and it was level with the ground. And this just had a step to go down into there. And in the walls of it, we used to have it about that deep. In the walls of it, you could cut a square, because it was like clay sand. You could dig a square out, make like a little cupboard for to put your shaving gear or anything like that, because we were there static for don't know how long again, and the time didn't used to matter. But Buick was in charge of us then.
What was the desert like?
It was hard scrub. That's another thing. I mean, you used to see, it was like these cowboy pictures where you see the bushes rolling about. We're all camel scrub, and the camels used to feed on it. And it was just barely into the ground and was as hard as anything, you know. And you could see mirages. You know, it was so hot. In the distance, you could see water, the waves, and you could see different things. There was nothing there, but it was a mirage. And you could swear there was lakes right in the distance. It was that hot. And still had to get out, just a bit drilling, a little bit, you know, but just sections, you know. You sent a message. I remember one day I was sent a message and there was a bombing went on. And I did it some distance then. There was one of their bombers came out. It happened to be a fair distance from me, but what he dropped was one of those shrapnel bombs, you know, where it gets so far down then it exploded and everybody gets a bit. And I was down then. I was shot there because it was the same pretty near.
Well, you dug your chamber, as you say, which you lived in and slept in.
Mm-hmm.
Where were the latrines in relation to the? How did you cope with that?
There was a warning. Everybody didn't use them, like, because you'd get up just during the night and go anywhere at times. But there was one with just like a bar. You dug a square, like the same sort of square, and I think that. I still think we must have been hours that did it. I couldn't think those pioneers. But anyway, square. And a bar across the top. And you're supposed to sit on that. And that was it. But up at times, people just used to go because it's miles and miles you could walk, you know, at night. But, when you did have one, the worst job you had was keeping the flies off you. You know, I mean, flies, and then you can understand what it was like then, you know, and flies all over the blooming place. And you used to go into the town, into Alexandria, see these little kids with them all over their eyes and noses.
How did you cope with flies? Because it wasn't just around the toilets.
We used to, I play the, well, we did cope, later on, I think it was in Algiers, we got tents with mosquito proof. And you just used to knock flies. I mean, if you kept yourself clean, it wasn't so bad if you washed. But mosquito, I remember when we got kitted out with new shorts and jackets, and you kept them out of your trousers so that the mosquitoes couldn't bite through, you know. And I think that was just as we got up to our ears.
In the box, though, itself,
mm-hmm.
one of the worst aspects were the flies, of course, for eating and drinking. How did you cope with that?
Well, we didn't get anything to against them because you just used to keep them off, you know. I think maybe that as quick as you could.
Just shake it.
Just shake it. I mean, at the time then, or you were given the tin of corned beef, you know, and some crackers, some of the hardtack, and you just open the tin, you'd eat some, and then put it back in your knapsack and eat the hardtack. We were on hardtack and corned beef for a while, but I can't remember where there could have been a kitchen, because we didn't used to go far from our little, you know, our own section.
You weren't getting cooked meals?
Pardon?
Were you getting cooked meals at any time during the day?
I can't think about that when we're up there. We even got the naffy there one time, but... okay, that's memory, man.